today on Real Radio.
Jack, I don't know much, but I know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Then listen here. Let me announce it. God has given you an inheritance. Stop thinking in dollars and property and deeds and trust. God is more vested in your life of having eternal worth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Now, in these four verses, the Apostle Paul shares with us what true spiritual richness is, and that these riches cannot be lost or taken away in this world or in the world to come. Christians have received an inheritance from God, but how do we invest the losses, the downtimes, and the heartbreaks in life? By asking the Lord to show us in His Word the answers to our dilemmas, and by asking the Lord to give us the power to accomplish His will. For the irritations and pressures of life and how we react to them develop our faith and our walk with Christ. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that we are His workmanship. We're also created in Christ Jesus for good works. God has a pattern of what the believer's life is to be like. We live in a dying world, but we can flourish with Christ as our example. And now, in his lesson called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And well, church, grab your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. You know that. We're in Part 2 of a message entitled How to Get Rich Quick. I just kind of like saying the title that way because it's provocative, because you expect some sermon today on 12 steps on how to have financial freedom. That ain't going to happen. How to get rich quick. We're talking about real riches. We're talking about riches that can't be hacked. We're talking about riches that Wall Street cannot touch. Riches that cannot be lost. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13, Paul begins in verse 10 with a closing argument that goes all the way out to the end of the chapter and the end of the book. And he's going to be talking about, I believe, as I've put up the title, what true spiritual richness is. And it's not so often what we might think. You know, the Bible tells us, Paul writes in another place to the church at Corinth, Greece, and in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, he said to them, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," think of that for a moment. How is God rich? "Yet for our sakes he became poor." How can God become poor? "That you through his poverty might become rich." That's a great statement to where we're going today. How to get rich quick is not some scheme that you see on the internet or some mail list thing. Sign your name and pass it on to 25 people you know. No, you can get rich quick in an instant by coming, A, as a believer to a greater revelation or knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he's planned for your life, or B, if you're not a Christian at all, you can super duper get rich quick by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. He himself, by the verse we just read in Corinthians, will provide for you a richness that cannot be taken away in this world or in the world to come. Verse 10, Philippians 4, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now and at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need or want or lack, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that verse 13, as I said last week, is the very foundation for why even in your Bible, those three other verses sit on top of it. There's a reason for that. But I want you to think about something for a moment. How does God communicate to us his will and his word for our lives? The Bible says he has done that just as we sang that song a moment ago. that God incarnate has come, the incarnation of Christ, that Jesus Christ, when you watch him in the Gospels, when you see him in the book of Revelation, when you hear him speaking, it's in perfect concert with who he was on earth, and at the same time, the full revelation of God's word. That is, from Genesis to Revelation, that is the Bible. God's will has been revealed to mankind. Having said that, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is God's will incarnate. He is the Word of God. You know that, right? From John chapter 1. The Word of God became flesh and tabernacled or lived or pitched his tent. His body lived among us. He took on this form. And though Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, he becomes our pattern. He's the standard of what the heavenly man ought to look like on earth. And if we call ourselves Christians today, we are to mimic our heavenly example. And that example has given us how we're supposed to live. We are supposed to speak. We're supposed to do. We are supposed to execute God's plan by doing his will in life. A lot of Christians today, predominantly, sad to say, young Christians today, are asking the question, I don't know what God has for me. I don't know what God's will is for my life. And I understand and I appreciate their hunger to know. I understand where they're asking it from, but you can't stay there, because if you read God's word, you will know what his will is for your life. We need to get back to the Bible. So last time we opened up with our first argument, and it is in verses 10 through 11, and how to get rich quick, it's this, that we're to look for the God-ordained opportunities around you. Remember that, church? And I asked you last week to make it as a commission, to go out of the building last week and to find God, his ordained moment for you. And I'm wondering, I'd love to get an email from you or hear from you in the foyer after service today, how that happened in your life. I love the fact that Lisa said because of the message, she went and bought blankets. And she's got blankets in the trunk of her car to hand out. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, it's great that she went and bought blankets and they're in the trunk of the car. But what has to happen next is that you got to give them to people who are homeless and cold, okay? This last week, I walked out of Old Navy and there was a homeless man. And I walked right by him, and I was talking to somebody. I walked right by him, and then I got about 25 feet away, and you know what? This is the Holy Spirit speaking, because I was totally engrossed in some other topic. I heard the Spirit of God. You know how he speaks? He uses your voice, because you're the only one you're going to listen to. So he uses your voice, but you definitely know what he's saying, ain't you? And he said, you just taught on this last week, and you don't know if that man right there is me, a homeless guy, or an angel. That's all he said. He didn't say, turn around and help him. He just reminded me. And I went, wait, can you wait right here for a moment? And I reached into my pocket. I'd never carry cash, but I had $5. That's very rare for me. And I just said, listen, and I just gave the guy the gospel. He looked at me, beautiful, by the way, old man, beautiful blue eyes, didn't say a word, except when I gave him the gospel in the $5, he said, thank you for this. There was almost a stillness about it where I walked away with a little bit of fear in my heart, because I felt like I was being tested. And you say, well, what do you think happened? You know what? It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter who that was, actually. The fact is, I released that to eternity. That's between God and, in the day of judgment, me. Look for those God-ordained opportunities. And we saw in verses 10 and 11 that they are supplied by God for you. He will set up that divine appointment as a believer, because Paul is talking to a church that looked for opportunities to bless, and so will we. And then in verse 11, we learn that they're designed by God through you, meaning that God will literally not only set up for you, Christian. How many of you are a Christian right now? Raise your hand. Look at this. Look at the love that is going to be dispatched to the towns and the cities that you came from today, just in this first service. You're going to go back, and you are going to go back to a situation that God will supply for you the opportunity, and he's going to design it that in such a way it's going to come through you, not your neighbor, through you. I could have told that person I was with, hey, you know what? I taught a message last week on this. It's giving to people and looking for God-ordained opportunities, so go help that guy. That would have been a cheap shot. That would have been terrible. Right? I mean, well, what's wrong with that? I was the one that God was talking to. It's kind of like when I might do a message and it's something like marital or something said, and you'll see a wife or a husband go like, I mean, I can see from here. I can see everything from here. But I'll see, well, you know, husbands ought to love their wives, the Bible says, and you'll see a wife go. Well, if I would have went to that person, hey, do what I said last week. She would have been justified in saying, why don't you do what you said last week? You see? We are to, I'd like to put it this way, violently look for the supplied, ordained moment that God has made for you, Christian, because it is to be met through you, the believer, not somebody else. And that's very exciting. One more thing on this before we jump into our second argument. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his, God's workmanship, his craftsmanship. The word is poem. For we are his poem. He's writing a poem. He's creating it in Christ Jesus for good works. This is what Christians do. Because they're saved, God gives them good works to go do all over the globe, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. This last summer, my granddaughter was at some thing somewhere, some fair, and they had water, and they had these giant bubbles. And they unzipped the bubble. She stepped inside the bubble. They zipped back up the bubble, pumped air into the bubble, and then she walked on water. She just walked across the water on the bubble. By the way, there's been people that have taken those out into the ocean here, which is cool, but wind has picked up at times and pushed them down to the Philippines or something. But she's in a bubble walking on water. Can you walk on water by yourself? You can walk on water when you're in a bubble, right? And as a Christian, you and I are to walk in the works that God has created for us. Get inside that bubble. Zip it up. The Holy Spirit's the air. He pumps it up. And you know what? You can even walk on water because it's what God has designed for us to do. So here we go, head first, we dive into the second argument. How to get rich quick? Look for God-ordained opportunities around you? Yep, number two, invest in that which cannot be taken from you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Nobody can rob you of this, nobody can take it from you, the government can't tax it away from you, and no hacker can steal it. Invest in what God has wonderfully given to you. It's not going to be taken away. First of all, we've received an inheritance from the Lord. That's what we see in verse 12. Paul says, I know, great word, I have experienced the faithfulness of God. This is why I'm going to tell you that I know how to be abased. I know how to live in absolute poverty. And I know, I've learned by experience, how to live with absolute abundance. He gives both pendulum swings of the social status of life and the living conditions of life. Paul the great apostle, remarkable. In all of his years of ministry, he could tell you, I know what it's like to be poor. By the way, we know Paul's history as a Pharisee and a Jew and what he was educated in and where and by whom. Gamaliel, the greatest instructor of his era. So Paul had money. His parents must have had money. As a beginning rabbi and Pharisee, he would have been very wealthy. Religious people in those days, they were professional religionists, highly regarded in the nation, very, very wealthy people. They were the most educated people. And so he would have been wealthy. When he came to Christ, he lost all that. I think that's awesome, personally. The word to be abased is to be set back. It means to be pressed down, to be weighed down by needs, by things that are necessary just for living. You don't have them. And so the pressure of that is upon you. Listen, some of your Bibles rightly translate or have in the margins to be molded or shaped into humiliation. That's a strong word, but that's what it means, to be humbled or reduced to the point of humiliation. Now, I don't know how many of us could say such a thing. I once had a very, very high-paying job at the age of 17, 18, 19. It was legal. I paid taxes. but I had a very high-paying job. And I was offered to go do the same thing at another company for more money, but that fell apart. All of a sudden, I went from making more money than my dad was making to almost nothing. Let me tell you something. I'm not saying I'm like Paul, but I'm telling you, that'd take the wind out of you. On top of the fact I was getting married in 3 weeks. That was scary. And then the word abound, just to lay the groundwork, abound, to be super abounding, to have an abundance of quantity of whatever that thing might be. So regarding the abasement part, when he says regarding our investment as believers, how do we invest as believers if we have nothing or if we have everything? Well, we first of all understand, Christian, that we have received whatever we do or do not have from the Lord. It is an inheritance from God. You say, Jack, if he's going to give me an inheritance, can't it be more? I don't know. That might be up to you and your faithfulness to whatever and wherever you're at, Christian. You and I are to be flourishing if we have or have not. This is one of the many things that makes us different than the world. To be abased or to have nothing, how do we invest in the losses? Ask yourself this question. I asked it of myself this week. How do we invest in the losses? Is that even possible? How do we invest in the downturns or the heartbreaks of our lives? What is your negative? How can that inheritance from Jesus Christ apply to the losses of your life? Is it the loss of a child? Did your husband die? Did your wife die? Is it a parent? Grandparent? What's your story? Whatever it is that you could write down on a piece of paper today and say, this breaks my heart. Or we our business completely folded. Or we lost our home. Has that somehow escaped the great eye of God? Or today you would say, I'm a Christian. Jack, I don't know much, but I know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Then listen here. Let me announce it. God has given you an inheritance. Stop thinking in dollars and property and deeds and trust. You may or may not have such things. God is more vested in your life of having eternal worth, things that will matter in eternity more so. And listen, in all of the troubles of life that you and I go through, they are literally designed by God. The losses, the downturns, the heartbreaks is to work in you and I a spiritual depth and character that will matter in all of eternity. Amen. By asking the right questions, that's the answer. How do I make these downturns, these heartbreaks, these losses right in my life, Pastor? What happens? You ask the right questions. I'm going to give you a couple. You ought to write them down because you may not be in trouble now, but you will be. Ask this question. These are personal, so I thought I'd share them with you. Lord, where in your word is the answer to my dilemma? Show me. Where in your word is the answer to this dilemma I'm in right now? Because there is an answer. That ought to cause you right now to become a student of the Bible. If you ain't got troubles, then go keep playing Pokemon. But let me tell you, man, God's people, they got trouble. Next question. Lord, how do I apply that verse to my life? How do I apply that verse to my life? That verse that he shows you. Third question, simply three questions. Lord, now give me the power to do that thing. God, where's the answer to my problem in your word? I'll give you a hint. Start reading the book of Psalms. I had problems this week. Went to the book of Psalms. Got to the 9th chapter. Got my answer. It's funny because I didn't know that would be my answer. That's how you know it's God too. Because you don't want to read the Bible to read stuff into the Bible. You want to come to the Bible blank and let it read into you. And when it happens, it's like a lightning bolt and you go, boom, that's it. And you know what the next thing was? It's just us this morning, right? Nobody else knows we're here. Here's the deal. When it happened, I got up and I went, God, thank you. Now, Lord, how do I apply that in my life? What do I do? That's the answer, but what do I do? You know what he told me? I think you've heard this before of him. He's big on this one. Don't do a thing. Really? Really, Lord? Yep, don't do a thing. Well, I ain't got the power to not do anything. So, Lord, I need your power to not do anything. And you know what? I got up and I knew for that moment, it's gone. God, you're awesome. You're awesome. Can I encourage you to try that? Whatever is troubling you, will you try that? Watch what he does. You know, when's the last time you considered how a pearl is made? First of all, do you see where pearls come from? If you saw that, where do they come from? What's it called? Oh, an oyster. I was going to say clam. First of all, have you looked at an oyster shell? Is it absolutely ugly? It's insane. And then it's laying on the bottom of the ocean or wherever it's at. Who would touch it? That's why it's on the bottom of the ocean. You leave it alone. Somebody looked at the thing and said, what an ugly thing that is. Let's open it up. And somebody opened it up, and there was a pearl inside. And the pearl is the development over time based upon an irritant that's within the oyster. The oyster is in there just ugly and slimy and happy, content. And it's like, what is that thing? And it starts to have a problem, and it can't get rid of it. And it figures out a way, I got to cover this thing. It's disgusting. I got to make it stop being an irritant. And then it goes, and it covers it, and then, and it covers it again, and it covers it, and it eventually makes a pearl. All pearls come from hurt, pain, distraction, suffering. All of them. You think they come from the jewelry store. They come from suffering. Where do diamonds come from? Diamonds, Pastor, you're on a roll. Merry Christmas. Diamonds. Great pressure, great intensity, impossible conditions, geological upheaval. That's the only way you can get a diamond. The only way you can get a Christian life that is valuable, strong, a witness, and it shines, and it's invincible, and it's cutting, as it were, is through suffering. It's a grace, it's a gift, it's given to us by God. The world suffers. They try to endure. The Christian, because we're Christians, we're in Christ. We've got an incredibly different whole life to live regarding suffering. We're not victims of suffering, Christian. No matter how much pain, no matter how it is, this body suffers because it is made of this world. But the inside man, the born-again person, is being renewed day by day. We are becoming day by day like a pearl, like a diamond. God is at work. Irritants and pressures are what shape us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you can find rest in what God has already provided, and not in the economy of this world. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you remember, we recently stepped away from our normal broadcasts and brought you some special episodes based on Bible prophecy. Now, we had such an overwhelming response that we have decided to do a few special events coming up for all of our Real Radio and Sirius XM listeners. They're called the His Coming Bible Prophecy Facebook Live events. They'll be live right there on Pastor Jack's Facebook page one Wednesday night a month, starting September 20th, also October 25th, and November 15th. You can get to Pastor Jack's Facebook page via Facebook, or you can use the link that's provided at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Come and join us for an evening of Bible prophecy where you can even text Pastor Jack right there some live questions from your phone or your computer or anywhere you're at. So don't miss out. The events will be hosted at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. So if you want to come and join us live, you could do that. These are very special events that we wanted to do for our Real Radio and Sirius XM listeners. So don't forget to tune in September 20th, October 25th, and November 15th for Pastor Jack's His Coming Bible Prophecy events on Facebook Live. If you'd like some more info, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.